and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Because faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenlies.
The five purposes of the church, the first is communion. Second is mission. The third is consolidation. The fourth is discipleship. The last is ministry. The greatest secret of this ministry is number one. The first thing I will know, how I know that the DNA of the ministry has entered you, because the kingdom of God comes within people, then in the chapters where they run, they're able to duplicate it. Now, the greatest secret of this ministry is this. This one is prayer, worship. This one is where God is transferred inside human beings. If I tell you the amount of divine virtue and substance that was downloaded inside me now in this service, just this service this morning. The amount of whatever that entered inside this my body now, I can run with it for 90 days nonstop. Now, fuel, people have different sizes of tanks. So when you go buy fuel, you know, in your mind, you already know. If I'm traveling a long distance with it, I know probably this one will carry me to this, and I'm going to buy again. This one will carry me to this, and I'm going to buy again. It depends on your usage. People like me, I'm using, consuming. I'm like a gen that is running all the time. So I can't afford not to visit the filling station often. If I have 1 week where I did not visit, the effect will show. The effect will show. Everything depends on it. The anointing depends on it. My health depends on it. The wisdom I operate depends on it. Because each time that is drawn, I know how unwise I am. The decisions I make depends on it. The fruit of the Spirit, the Christian life, the character of my Christian life depends on it. That you walk in love or you always feel with joy and enthusiasm. Those are a watered garden bears fruit. Those that are dry don't. Everything depends on it. Then my prosperity depends on it. My protection depends on it. The devil can't get a man that is hiding under the shadow of the Almighty. He can't. This is the most important. This is where the highest level of transformation takes place. If we are going to reproduce pastors, ministers that will carry the DNA of the ministry, this is the highest. It's because of this that we hold pastors' retreats. It's because of this that we hold prophetic conference. It's because of this that we hold camp meeting. What are we doing with camp meeting? You can be in your church now. I can actually do the messages and send to you. You can even play tapes. It's because of this. So people who miss those meetings tell you, get me tapes. No, they are not tape matters. Some of the things we do there, we have preached it before. It's not tape matter. There is an invisible substance that is downloaded inside me. The Bible said, as we behold his glory. You know what? When Jesus was transfigured on Mount Sinai, those are not messages you say, send them tape. They can listen to that service on tape. The three guys who attended it will tell you that the other nine missed something for their lifetime. It's like when Moses was on the mountain and came down with his face transfigured. That thing that transfigures people is not a tape matter. What you send people tape for is number four. This is where information, knowledge, wisdom, is transmitted. It's another very important force in this place. You can't carry the DNA of this ministry and not carry the message. You can't. It's not possible. It's one of, but this is the deadliest. Anybody who becomes, so that when people, if people get to your meeting, it's inside one bush, one village, it's inside anywhere. They meet this thing, this downloading of God. I'm talking about God. You have learned how to download God inside human beings. Nobody will settle down. They will know they've made dominion city. It's our highest value, the presence of God, the pursuit of God's presence. Is the highest value in this place. It's the highest value. It's the highest value. We have value for souls. That's where you get to mission. It's a very important thing. Everything you need, download it from before God. So whether all the money are inside your boat, it doesn't matter. If they're not inside your boat, then you have to prepare your net and go inside the sea. There is enough money for what you want to be. I don't care what it is. You have to. Nothing stops you from raising all the funds you need everywhere you go. I don't care. Plus the ones that are in your ship. If the provisions are not in your ship, they are in God's word. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It doesn't belong to Satan or anybody. You can't hang around us 1 year and not learn how to do this. I've just done it with you now. I've just done it. That is what you must learn to do. If you don't know how to connect God, and you know, that is how I survive. That's why you don't hear that I break down now. So when my heart is overwhelmed, take me to the rock that is higher than I. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And you know, when the founding fathers of America were trying to craft this constitution that has carried our nation for almost, this is what they would do. They are men of prayer, men that understand communion. They come in the morning and burn hours on their faces. Then they wake up from that place and sit around tables. And they'll be downloading things that are not from this world. Wisdom. Scriptures will be opening up. They will be crafting it into laws and things. And that's how they lay the foundation of a nation that has survived the test of time. So you see, we do this. This is one of our core values. Souls. You can't be here too and be playing with that. This is one of our core values. We call this one covenant. That's what they call it. Covenant relationships. This one is souls. The first one is the presence of God. The pursuit of God's presence. The pursuit of God's presence is a major issue here. Whether you're preaching, you're singing, you're leading, you're doing anything. So when you produce people, when you raise people, when you stand doing whatever you are doing, I look out for this thing. That's how I know if a minister is alive, the first one, the first purpose of the church, first one, ability to download God into people. You know, one of my mentors said, he said, the greatest responsibility of a minister is to take God's people to his presence. He said when he succeeds in doing that, 90% of their problems get solved. Most of what you want to lay hands on people for and be spending time doing counseling, get them into the holiest of holies. If you can get them there, keep them there for a couple of minutes. The counseling you want to do, who are you? Who? There is a person called a counselor. The counselor. Want to waste time counseling people. There's a person called the counselor. He is the teacher. Have you forgotten that the new covenant has something in it? That they will not need to teach everyone know the Lord. That from the least of them to the greatest of them, they shall know me. If you want to see that happen,
You have to know how to open the veil and let human beings see God. Bring men there. You have to know how to bring people into the third dimension, fourth dimension. If you know how to do it, some of the things you want to rebuke them for, correct them for, when they enter it, the correction will start taking place. Let me tell you something about I'm going to mention it, because that's actually what is in my heart today, this first one. But you know, we have all these other values. For example, at the fourth level, you know, we have strong value for knowledge, especially leadership development is a core value in this place. So training. So I can't see you saying you're running Dominion City anywhere and these things are missing. You don't care about souls, nothing, there's nothing on the ground to be going after them. And then, you know, the value for covenant relationship, number three, is building strong bonds among the people. Bonding. And then, now we're also learning, you see that part of our strategy is the G12, which helps to do that very well. Then, of course, the aspect of knowledge. You can't be here and be doing cock and bull story. Maybe we visit your chapter and you are telling stories. We don't tell stories here. I dreamt and I saw a cockroach flying. We don't tell such things here. If we catch you, we don't do it here. This place is not a dreamer's environment. The kind of dreams what we talk about here is not those cockroach kind of dreams. We're talking about visions and revelations of God. We're talking about visionaries. Visions that will translate to transformations, to projects that will change life, not cock and bull stories. And you know those kind of visions, you see it with your eyes open. Sometimes you see it as I'm talking. The thing is, just coming. So I see. You see it as you're praying. You see it as you're worshiping. You see it on your face. You can also see it asleep. Oh. You have to drink in the DNA of the system. Or, very important too. Very important. When we talk deliverance, maybe it's deliverance school. It's not that one that is destroying lives. Paul took time to describe ministry of Moses and ministry of the new covenant and talked about that ministry that puts men in bondage, the ministration of death that kills people. So you can come into a system like this, instead of grabbing what is going on, you sit down, you are just slaughtering lives. You have to be careful about that. And I'm just saying that generally. So you know that ultimately, that if you ask me, I'll tell you that this is one of the most important core values here is transformation, national transformation. It goes with ministry development and leadership development. It goes with it. It's where the whole thing ended, that everybody we raise must do ministry. Whether it is ministry in the priestly sense within the temple or ministry from the kingly sense, whether it's within the society, everybody must end up a king and a priest. Or at least a king or a priest. In that case, you are a success. You may not be complete, but you are a success. Everybody must end up a king or a priest. But the goal we have here is not all. It's king and. So it's either you're a kingly priest or you're a priestly king. It's either you are a minister, but who also has vision beyond just the church. Or you are called out there in the secular world, but you also know your place in the body of Christ. You know how to serve in the temple. So ultimately, the commission is a transformational mandate. It's a transformational mandate. It begins with transformation of the individual, finally to societal transformation. My concern is number one. If you fail at number one, you have failed. If you cannot download God, you have missed the very core element that produces the kind of change we produce. The reason we produce Christian character, the reason we produce is not just because of what we teach. The teaching comes later. The reason we produce it is because we are able not only to teach it, we're able to get people to contact the very life force of that message. There is a spirit of the word. We're able to get people to contact it. And once they drink it, it can't be the same. I know the ones that have not. Once they contact it, they can't be the same. You can't be inside here and be stealing, for example. Let me show you why. I want to show you what we download now. Just watch. Let me show you a scripture before I do that. You know, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Listen, this Christian life does not end with, ministry does not even begin here. You know, there are realms. Ministry does not begin here. It's like money. When you get to that point, you feel like you have run out. Or you feel like, maybe if it's a project will cost 100 million, for example. But maybe you are pioneering a young church and you have worked with your people. Finally, you have raised 10 million or 20 million. You feel like your people have been stretched. So to you, you can't see how this project can go beyond here because the people have really given. So to you, no. The human beings are not the source. The source of what you are called to do is the throne. That place does not run out. Get back into this number one thing. And you will see the way beyond that little limitation of 20 people that you think you have. There are some realms you can flow in communion. Two people will wake up after and pay off that thing. From the same people you think that don't have anything. It's from the same people. Two will wake up and shock you. There is a realm you flow. If their limit, really you have reached their limit, God will go beyond them. Who told you that the money must come from your congregation? The resource is not what is in your boat. The resource is what is in the deep. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. When your boat is empty, it's time to launch into the deep. There is nothing like limitation, finances. There is nothing like that. It's in your mind. It's in the mind. Let me show you. So he said, look at this. Seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. I think Paul was writing about this comparison. He said, for the things which are seen are what? Temporal. The ones that are not seen are what? Eternal. It's not just that they are permanent. They are inexhaustible. Like air, you can't finish it. You cannot. It gets replenished as you take. It's like nothing left. For you died, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So verse 4 said, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you shall also appear with him in glory. I want you to remember, Christ is your life. Christ is my life. So Jesus was made unto us a number of things. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll list some of them. Here now you can see Jesus is our life. Jesus was made unto us many things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for example, verse 30 said, of him you are in Christ, Jesus, who became for us. Now, old King James said, who was made unto us? Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God was made unto us. What? So you can't run out of that resource. That's what I'm letting you know. You can't run out of this. For example, you can't run out of life. When you start feeling drained inside, is this first purpose of the church? This filling station. You can't run out of life. That's why the Bible said, abide in me, abide in you. Abiding in Christ is fellowship with him, is prayer, is worship, is communion, is staying in his presence, waiting on him. And then what happens when you do that? He is infused inside you. That's the side of abiding you. That the life force, his life, is infusing you. When you start abiding in him, when you wait on him in prayer, when you do that, what you do is that you feast on the highest thing that we eat in the kingdom. It is not the word. The highest thing we eat on the kingdom is not the word. The highest thing we eat in the kingdom is Christ. I ask the Lord a question sometimes, you know, because, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So we feast on the word. It's the food that we survive on. But one day I was comparing manna with the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. The people ate manna in the wilderness and they died. And right there on the pulpit while I was talking, the Lord said, the real opposite of that manna, the real opposite, is not even the word. The word comes at the second level. Is me. A believer who will live like he should live is the believer that has learned to feast on me. So I give it to you, brothers and sisters. In the ministry, the first thing you are called to feed the people is not the message. The first thing you're called to feed the people is Christ. You will not produce the quality of what you're supposed to produce unless you learn how to do it. That's what the first purpose of the church is all about. So worship is not something we use to fill time. Then people walk in to now hear the word and you collect offering. When the people are taught this, the most important part of the service is your worship. And that's why you as a pastor, you have to look into what is going on there. You don't let a group of vagabonds hijack the worship ministry, come there, sing Makosa or sing some crazy things, and the church of Jesus Christ is dying and withering away because there is a transmission of life that's supposed to be taking place that is not going on. Then after, you rise up and preach one dead, dry message to them. No! The first thing, if you want to produce the DNA of this ministry, if you want to reproduce our mandate, the first thing, you must know how to transmit the divine element, the divine substance, the divine nature, the divine, you know, the glory of God. There's a Greek word they use for it, which is doga, is weight. That substance that makes God, when he enters your being, your even the very cells in your body pick it up. Your spirit man picks it up. Your mind picks it up. Your emotion picks it up. It clears everything that the fall has done. It clears the damages that sin has done. It clears the damages that the environment has done. Because sometimes we inhale some things. It could be toxins that affect our body. It wipes it. Yes, that's why you live in that way, you don't fall sick at all. You don't wait till you are sick to be healed. Then you say, you are living in health. So Jesus in John chapter 6 was talking about how the fathers ate manna in the wilderness and died. And he's telling us what to eat in the New Testament. He said the first thing to eat is him. That as the son lives by the father, by feasting on the father every day. I asked him, how do you do it? He said every morning he will wake up early to go and take this food. That's what God asks us to feast on. The highest calling of the church. Before we can carry to represent God, now all this other mission and others, we start representing God too. This first thing is we have to know how to do this. We have to know how to do it at an individual level. We have to know how to do it as church. It is then you can actually transmit God. The first thing you have to transmit is not the message, it's the person. You are to be a carrier of God, a carrier of this life force. Then you will change people when they have contact with you. When they sit and listen to you, they live there, they can't explain what it is. Because it's not like information, you can now go and explain it. They can't explain what it is. They live there, and once that thing has impacted them, they don't become normal anymore. Somewhere, you will see the result. It's like when sperm has hit a woman with an egg. After a while, you see that stomach starts swelling. That's what will happen to that person. They finally find their way back to the cross and give their life to Christ. Even if you don't make that altar call that day. That thing leaves an impact on the human spirit that creates a hunger. That finally, when you leave, the person who brought the impact may have gone, or something inside you start longing for another experience of God like that. If we transmit God and show mortals, take divine presence and let mortals contact it, you have laid the greatest foundation for their salvation and for their recovery. You have. Sometimes they hear messages and it doesn't deliver that job. But when a message too is going, backed by this living substance, when a man is not just ministering information, he's transmitting spirits. You know, God is a spirit. God is flowing through the vehicle of what he's saying. Then you can generate the first thing God sent us here to do. It's a transformational mandate. That first one is personal transformation. Then when information and knowledge now come, the mind is now renewed enough to catch up with what has already happened in the person's spirit. What you notice is such people will be growing faster in their spirit than even in their mind. Their mind will now have to grow to catch up. You know more in your spirit than you know in your mind. You know, there's something you were telling me. He said, after we met this, he said, now I understood what God happened. There is something more. There is this. That is it. That's a man. When a man's spirit is active, it will always be ahead. If your head is ahead, you are not growing the right way. That's what we have today. A lot of Christians with swollen up heads. They don't have power to do what they are learning. They're learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The spirit should be in charge, always ahead. The mind, the emotion, then the body last. A lot of believers are even ruled by the body. When this order is not there, you will find the person so weak. You will hear a message. They know they are supposed to do it. Who will do now? Christianity, genuine Christianity, live from inside out. So that place, when Christ, who is our life, shall, he is our life. He's our life. So the first thing I feed on is on him. Now let me read this, you know, so I can show us something. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said verse 30. Christ has been made unto us what? So it's not just my life, it's my what? Wisdom. Each time I do this feasting, I'm telling you, something opens up. I just can't explain it. You can't run out of direction. You can't run out of solutions. You can't run out of wisdom. You can't run out of revelations. Not if you know how to abide in the vine. Somebody said to me, I don't know what is going on. The taste for the word of God just dried up. Even the taste to even read Christian Bible, I opened them. I don't know. I just dropped them. I say, you need to go back. You need to go back here. You are trying to feed the mind with spirit food and it's rejecting it. You need to go back here. You have abandoned communion. So communion service is not just what you do once in a month just to get people to. No. It's a very serious thing. And I'm not just talking about communion service, your personal communion. Because communion service, you know, these are physical things that actually represent very serious issues. The real communion, which is your personal communion with the Lord, never play with it. Christ is made unto us righteousness. He's made unto us sanctification. He's made unto us redemption. So Jesus is made unto us many other things. For example, he's made unto us protection. He's made unto us provision. Do you know that all that we need for life and godliness are in Christ? Everything. And all of them are appropriated by faith. So after laying it in Christ, God now gave it to us in form of promises. It calls exceedingly great and what? Precious. So because these things are available, they gave to the public exceedingly great and precious. That's mind-blowing promises that some don't believe. You are not collecting anything, you just leave it there. You're not cashing. You don't leave it. You don't believe because they sound too good to be true. That's what God is talking about. Promises that sound too good to be true. Everything that we need for life and godliness, that's what 1 Peter said, has been given to us. So that by these things, and what he did is that he now tied them up, packaged them into mind-blowing promises. So that by this we can be partakers of the divine nature. If we want to function like Jesus, we have to take those promises and start cashing them. With faith, after cashing. So Jesus has made unto us so many things. So if you tell me this one is running out, I tell you, because you are looking at the things below, you are not looking at things above. Look at the source one more time. You will see that nothing runs out. Nothing. So I'll do this to conclude this. This is what we are downloading. What is it that we are downloading? I want to show it to you. What is it? To do the first purpose of the church, you must know how to download God into people.
That's the ministry of the New Testament. You don't do like Moses, who keep the glory back so that people only listen to letter. You don't preach words to them. Yeah, you cover the glory and keep it out. That type of ministry produces death. The ministration of the New Testament is the ministration of the Spirit. It's the ministration of the Spirit. The scripture said, once we know how to minister the Spirit, then we have learned how to administer life. People won't be dying sitting under you. They will be experiencing quickening and resurrection. They will be experiencing vitalization. The difference between Old Testament and New Testament ministry, among other things, is that New Testament is word without the power to do it. So when you finish, people have learned so much responsibility, but they lack the ability to implement. The New Testament not only brings the message, it brings the life of that message. It brings the Spirit with it. So this is what we download. So I want to show you. God has two different ways. Let me say there are two components that make up God. Let me show it to you. Two components. And no matter which person of the Trinity you are looking at, you will see these two components. Lift up your hand and say, Father, open my eyes to know who you are. The scripture said, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So this is what I'm supposed to transmit to people. What is it? God. What is it? There are two components that make up divinity. The two components of divinity. When I talk from the perspective of national transformation, I come from that first instruction. Let us make man in our what? Image. You will see the two components that make up the image of God. And the scripture said our job is to get everyone to be conformed to the image of Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And Christ is the express image of the Father. So this being conformed to the image of Christ is being conformed to the image of God, which is God's original plan for man. Now, when you say, let us make man in our image after our likeness, I want us to get it clear what God was saying. He was not talking about making a creature to look like him physically. He was not talking about man resembling him physically. Even though I also believe that somehow, finally, when we see him, I don't also think that it will be too far from what we look like. But when you think about being like God, forget about thinking about somebody with two eyes, two ears, one head, one mouth, maybe with two legs and 10 toes. Forget about that. The image of God has nothing to do with physical resemblance. And in reproducing Christ in people, it has nothing to do with it. You can even grow long hair, grow your beard, buy a white gown and start looking like Jesus of Nazareth. It won't make you anywhere near him. The image of God has to do with two components. The first is what is called natural, some people say supernatural, attributes. In the realm of God, it is natural. God, from the day, from beginning, from time immemorial, has always been like this. We never change. The second one is what is called moral attributes. I will list maybe five qualities of each one. Look at this natural attributes. How God is naturally. Look at one of them. Natural attributes. This is very important. Before you get to other expressions of the purpose of the church, like mission, like discipleship, we have to know how to do this. The first is power. The second is wisdom or knowledge. The third is eternity. How many of you have read the scripture that said
that God put eternity in man. How many of you have read it? It's a quality of the human spirit. That's part of that. I want to make them like me. I want to make them in my image. Let me show you, for example, how this functions in reality. When it comes to power, the way God possesses it is called omnipotent. Omnipotent. Omni means all. Now, this word power is ability. It includes ability to do anything. How much of it does God have? He says it's all. In the Lord's Prayer, look at where Jesus was concluding. You know, people have to know God like this. The kind of faith, you know, when I get into the presence of God and He's downloading Himself inside me, part of what happens to me is that there is capacity to express God's omnipotence. I'm not omnipotent. I can't do everything, but I'm being possessed by it. See, when you ask people how faith comes, they say faith comes by hearing. When I start doing discipleship, you know, the five purposes of it, when you get to teaching and the knowledge, there is a faith that comes at that level. That type of faith is imparted through knowledge. But when you study the dynamics of it, or the five dynamics of it, the first principle of faith is not knowledge or revelation. It is fellowship. It is what? Communion. There is a level of faith that is imparted. It doesn't come because you had some teaching or played some tapes or read some books. It comes through a spirit to spirit knowing. All these Abraham and co didn't have Bibles, they were reading. Adam didn't have Bible, but Adam was functioning the highest level of faith, the type that Jesus Christ functioned in. There was no Bible he was reading. So when you say faith comes by hearing, this means we are hearing it direct. God was downloading his word into their spirit direct in a place of communion, as he commune with God. And an aspect of omnipotence, that ability to express the mighty hand of God, comes inside the man. Why he looks at a dead man? Why they carry Paul through inside the water? He will be there 3 days in the deep after he will get up. How do you do that kind of stuff? Our Christian ministry must start reproducing believers in this caliber. Not believers whose faith are based in the wisdom of men. Paul said, my preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Don't let your ministry start with preaching and teaching. Let it start in the secret place by being a man who carries the presence of God. What you will see is that you can do in 1 weekend what normal ministers can do in 1 year. Because if you bring God on the scene, He can do in one service what all of us combined cannot do in this whole year. There are men, they are rare, there are very few, but I have found that there are certain men, you come and sit under them, you get established. Something happens. The weight of what they are doing, it rearranges many things at the same time in your life. You settle certain things. There are others, you can sit and be listening to the 3 years, not much has happened. It's because of the level of doga, the level of glory that they carry. The difference is in that area. The difference is there. Look at when it comes to wisdom or knowledge. They said omni again. The man is omniscience. So, and I come here as his express image, and I'm struggling. I don't even know what to do. I don't have direction. I'm trying to know. So in prayer, you see how we cry. You say, 1 week, I'm still looking for my purpose. You have not known God. You need to be introduced back to his person. You need to be introduced. The man that has so much of light is not the man that seeks light. It's the one that seeks this thing, God. What he has found out is that each time, because part of what God is made of, I'm telling you who he is, so these things are not what he does. This is his person. Part of what God is made of is light. In heaven, for example, they don't use torchlight, they don't use any light. who illuminates, one bulb illuminates a planet, is him. When in the beginning he said, let there be light on earth, and the moment he appeared, darkness clear. It was not light of a little bulb or that. That is illumination. That first light is illumination. And that light is a product of the spirit, is product of God, contact with the human spirit. That's how inventions, scientific inventions, and many of the breakthroughs, inspirations come about. That's how visions and dreams come about. So these days, when I hear motivational speaker talk about vision, as if it's a product of imagination, they tell you it's imagination. You just sit there, imagine it, see your future. They don't know anything. They don't know God. The people whose ministry begins at the mind, they don't know the holiest of holies. They think the tabernacle started in the holy place. So everything is mind, mind, mind. Yeah, the mind is very powerful. In case you don't know, it's very powerful. Mind power is something else. How much more when you experience pneuma power, pneuma forces, the forces of the recreated human spirit. Beyond even that, the force of the Holy Spirit that indwells it. So you can see now that inside the Holy of Holies, remember what I'm about to tell you. In the holy place, there is showbread. That's knowledge. That's revelation knowledge. In the outer court, there is water. That one is what is called logos, written word. It's letter. Written word, like you have your Bible. If you read it now, and you're reading or you're listening to it, and you are getting knowledge, information, that is water. But when you go into the holy place, you see bread, that is revelation. But when you go into the holiest of all, that's where you meet manna. Jesus is telling us that one that is inside the ark is not knowledge or information, is me. He's feasting on me. That's what communion should represent to us when we go there. But the mystery of manna or feasting on Christ, that when you feast it, it opens up even your mind and tears down the veils that are in your whole system. He said, when they turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken off, and that we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So there is liquid wisdom. Hey, how do I? There is liquid power. Those words captivate the atmosphere. It captivates the human brain. It captivates the weather, if it's what you are. It was like God, you know, when he said the word of the Lord breaketh the cedars in Lebanon. The word of the Lord thundereth. The word of the Lord divided the flames of fire. At that moment, you know, the man has mixed this substance with the other one. He's not just preaching. He grabs them from inside out. Then he captivates even the mortal dimension of our being, the cells in your body. It can melt cancer like nothing. It's like clay. The way you march on clay that has been molded and turn it into another. The third wave is not just transformational social work. That's when we get to the fifth purpose of the church. There's other expressions of God, expressions of his love. Third wave is the glory of the latter house. The third wave is men that will carry the former and the latter rain. In the same month, the third wave are men who will subdue cities. One man will rout a whole kingdom, a whole city, and bring it to his knees. Paul talking about it, said the authority, the equipment that the Lord God has given me to make the Gentiles obedient in word and indeed. Forces that command obedience of nations. It disarms the skeptics. Causing to bow before his face. That's where we are. God is giving us some time to prepare and get these things right. We have some things. We have structural side to it. Structure. We have, all this other side. But it's time to get the content of the vessel. Because all this structure we are drawing, there is something that should be inside it. And if you need developing your content, let it not be an empty thing. G12, G, all the whatever. What will be inside? That's the first thing to begin with. You know what amazes me every time is that when Solomon came and he was to rebuild the nation of Israel, God says, start with the temple. It was after the temple, they built walls and built cities. When that nation got destroyed and they went into Babylon and there was a commission to rebuild it, God says, start with the temple. First thing they did, they laid the foundation of the temple. They did it. Some were crying, some were rejoicing. Because those who saw the glory of the one that Solomon did were crying. They said, this thing we're calling third wave. Oh, I don't understand though. Have you heard of what God did in church history? Is this thing not a weaker version of it? But the prophet now brought him a word. He said, don't worry, my friend. Just be careful. Keep laying the thing. Keep very soon you will see. I'm going to shake all things. I will shake the heavens. I will shake the nations. And I will fill this house with glory and the glory of the latter house. So, but see the point. Ezra was sent before Nehemiah. Why? Because the temple comes before the city. I'm talking about changing Nigeria, the pattern. The temple comes before the city. After Nehemiah set up the temple, then Ezra has done that, then Nehemiah comes to build the walls with all those 12 gates, the 12 spheres of society that we need to work on. I wanted to do it with Lagos, and God said, you'll be fooling around. You have to set up a Lagos city and get a church that can now implement the transformational thing. If not, now you see Moses when he was building the tabernacle. I thought that the order would be you build the outer court, put the gates, build all the things in the outer court, get to the holy place, and all that. When he finished console, God said it's time to assemble. First thing is the ark with the mercy seat. Then they rear that thing that covers it, that sets up the tabernacle. They put the vessels where they should be. They put the veil where it should be. Then they finally come to the outer court and set up that with all the pillars and the tent. And then they bring in the sacrifice required, and the glory of God came and filled the temple. So it is temple before city. It is temple before walls. It is church before society. It's time to build the army that will undertake this mandate. Okay. We also know about omnipresence. God is everywhere. This is how he is. It's not something he will just try to do. He's already like that. So, if I let him, he can fill me so much with himself that even my cells, the very organs in my body will be so soaked. Because even God, as you are seeing him, is in the rocks. There's a funny religion who see God in nature. The only problem is that they don't know God as a person. Because when you talk about the presence of God, there is what is called the manifest presence of God, which is in heaven. And he came in here this morning. But there is the presence of God that is in everything, in everywhere. Look at eternity. Now, they are bringing the message of divine nature to us, which is part of the nature of God. We contain some of these things in certain dimension, but God is eternal. God is eternal. God, there is no beginning, there is no end. There is not like death in God. The beginning of death in anything is the declaration of independence of that thing from God. God is just life that flows endlessly. The death of Adam was the declaration of independence or disobedience, breaking of fellowship from God. And that's how things die. That's how churches die. That's how ministries die. That's how visions die. That's how people die. Now, you can now understand. When we say Jesus has been made unto us, everything that he is, that his substance contains, all of those things are now available to us. Christ has been made to me wisdom. All the riches of wisdom and knowledge are in him. All the depths, both of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable they are. All of that is available to me. So if I keep drawing and I keep having communion with him, I can't lack. So if somebody says, I met this man this year, the kind of revelation that is coming out of his mouth, you have not heard anything yet, because the way you meet me tomorrow morning, you better, these things are new every morning. The only way you can meet me and I've started stagnating, you know that the man has disconnected. This is a secret God has taught me about a walk with him. You can't meet me now in the next 100 years. I will still be pulling out things that... Why? You can see where I draw this thing from. The first thing that makes a man of God tick is drawing in him. So, now, I just showed you where we draw from in the first purpose of the church, the communion. Let me show you just maybe one or two of the moral attributes. Because if you are going to produce personal transformation, you don't just let people drink wisdom, drink power, or drink, you know, life, or drink, you know, the presence of God, the Shekinah. The Shekinah is also an expression of eternity. This dimension is that God lives outside town. He is everywhere at the same time. He doesn't need to come. He doesn't need to go. He's there. You know, but the presence of God, you don't just transmit this aspect of God. There are the moral attributes. Very important. The beauty of these things is that if your church, your ministry, your work carries these things, a lot of the work you will have to do in terms of follow-up, like consolidation and order, there won't be much need for it. That does not mean that some people might not come to work. I'm not saying you won't do follow-up. Remember, there's expression of God in terms of works, like visitation, giving, and all that. You know, but people can test this and might travel or go some other place and drift away. But that test will stay in them and it will finally draw them back. There's something about God, though. There's something about God that once you test it, that test will keep drawing you after him, except you finally cross the line of apostasy. And when you cross it, you don't want ever to have anything to do with him. Moral attributes. The first, brothers and sisters, I'm begging you in the name of the Lord. Paul said, I beg you by the mercies of God to start paying attention to some of these things I'm going to show you. If you want to produce what Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father designed when they created the church. Moral attributes. The first is holiness. This is God, though. This is God. You want to know God, this is him. The second is love. I just list five. The third is righteousness. Okay, let me put another word by the side. Justice. The fourth is mercy. Let me put another word by the side, compassion. The fifth is grace. Let me put another word by the side, generosity. Do you know what grace is? To be disposed to showing favor. If you are a gracious person, you are a generous person.
But grace is beyond that. It's a little bigger than that. It's a little bigger than that. This is God. If you transmit this, what you will be reproducing are people, men and women of compassion. For example, if you look at natural attributes, you will meet things like vision, which you and I call foresight. You see, can you see, it's God that we are looking at? We are not teaching some knowledge or something. And now, this so-called vision that I want brethren to have, I want somebody to have a vision, to have a clear picture of his future. I take him, he downloads it in his spirit, in worship. He downloads it in his spirit, in prayer. Where did he download it from? From God. Do you know that there was a time, this whole universe, nothing existed. No mango, no tree, no road, no human beings, no stars, no nothing. Where did they all come from? And at one time, they were all existing in form of sperms. Sperm, like a sperm of a man. But that man doesn't have children. But all the children are inside him. They were existing in form of seed. What we call dream seed. And they were all inside God. There are certain things that are yet to happen in Africa. There are some innovation we are going to see in ministry. We are living in an age of unparalleled innovation. Where you come up with something within days, another person has surpassed it. God is opening up his being and is pouring out. He's not just pouring out power. I will pour out my spirit in the last days, so that I will show signs and wonders and mighty works. When you talk about the third wave, it's not just power and exhibition. That's part of it that God wants to pour out. He's going to pour out wisdom, because these things, aspects of him, is what is being revealed. It's not just wisdom, not just knowledge and revelation. The spirit of creativity. This is part of what enables God to create. Dreams, visions, ideas, inspiration. God himself is inspiration. That's his nature. You know the way light by nature, not because your light is trying to do something. He has not started trying to do anything, but by nature it illuminates. Fire by nature heats up, burns. That's how God by nature illuminates, by nature. So when I look into God, vision is one of the things I come out of him with. Ideas, seeds of ideas, we just flood my mind. The same way I look into light, and then radiations from the light flood my eyes. That's how things. If you don't know who wrote the first five books of the Bible, it was a man who used to see God face to face. He wrote about creation. He's the man that told us about Adam. He's that man that talked about all kinds of things. He's that man that put moral precepts down as the foundation of civilization today. Your ministry will fall short if it does not transmit this. If there is anything at all from you, the way you talk or how you talk or what you transmit, because you know in ministry some things are taught, other things are caught, and I've been talking about some of those ones that are caught, whether it's by default, by omission or commission, you transmit foulness or filthiness. You know, the Bible says God is light, in him is no darkness at all. Anything filthy cannot be flowing from him. Anything impure. Let's just take a look at the man that walked with God by the name of Moses, who had close contact with God. There are certain things he came out with. He came out with things like, a man should not sleep with his daughters. A man should not sleep with his sister. A man should not cover his father or his mother's nakedness. He came out with things like, You don't eat dead animals, that a carcass that has died on its own. It came out with things like, if somebody has leprosy, it should be, before our hospitals, you know, they said that during the Egyptian civilization and all that, they found out that the Jewish people, you know, after they got, they were the healthiest people, and they were trying to find out why. All these other civilizations, we kill animals, they drink their blood. Even in Africa here, we use it to make some things and eat it. God will tell them, you don't eat blood. Today, science is now catching up. They're now finding out that every disease a man carries, some elements of it will be found in his blood. God said, you don't eat certain animals. Only for us to now find out today, some of those animals are scavengers. They are designed, nature designed them to clean up the environment. So when a dead carcass lies here, there are certain animals that will come. You see maggots, for example. You see some other thing that will come and clean it up. You see vultures. They will appear and clean it up. Because of that, they carry diseases inside them. It doesn't affect them. But when you go and kill them and eat, you just transmit death into your system. Look at a flu just broke out in Mexico, spread to US, spread to Canada, spread to a number of Western nations. Just got the world panicked until they've been able to develop vaccines now and they're curtailing it. It's from swine. God said, don't eat that. We're not saying if you eat pork meat, you're going to hell. But what we are discussing here is this quality of God. You get to the New Testament, he said, touch not the unclean thing. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, and I will receive you. You will be my daughter, you will be my and I will be a father unto you, and you will be my son. You are not going to get God to change who he is. This is already who he is. When he made you in his image, he put these things in you. That's why even before the gospel comes to any place, you will notice that there is this aspect of God's moral nature that is in man. When they are oppressing another man, they are collecting what belongs to him. You will see some African villages that have not heard the gospel, but they created vigilante to stop crime. Because there is something in man that hates being robbed or hates oppression, because part of that moral attribute of God is righteousness, is justice, is equity. Where will the man emerge who will do justice? Who will cause our national anthem to become a reality? To build a nation where peace and justice shall reign. Where will the ministers emerge who will do justice in ministry? Who's inside them, there is a sense of equity. They believe that it should be done to other people. The same way the kind of things I want to be done to me, that's what other people also deserve. Who will create equal playing ground in ministry? If anybody, you know, the idea of ministry, it doesn't mean we'll go and carry money in ministry and give you because we want you to have car. We'll go and carry money in ministry and give you because we want to have you, give you a house, so that we will know that we are just people in ministry. No. What justice does, what equity does, is that it gives everybody equal opportunity. It doesn't prevent some people from reaching any height. He says, if you pay the price, you can have it. Whether you are my brother or not, whether you are from my tribe or not, whether you are my in-law or not. So, and what justice also does, if you don't pay the price, you will stay there and be suffering. It's like when we finally get to heaven, you will see levels. Because he said he will give to every man according to his works. Let me show you this scripture. As we develop our guiding principles, these are some of the scriptures. Because what you need to do is study how the kingdom of God operates. It operates on the principle of equity. Because the kingdom takes its nature from the king. And this, I'm discussing the king now. You're seeing what he looks like. For example, look at this scripture. Look at this scripture. This is where you and I are going. This is how heaven, how the new earth will function. How the new heaven will function. Isaiah chapter 65. Verse 17. Behold, I create the heavens and the new earth. Can you see? So I'm going to show you some things about new heaven and new earth. You want to know how God's new heaven functions, including even this one, this present heaven. It functions like that. It's on earth that things have been messed up. So behold, I create a new heaven and new earth. The former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever. This will be forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. Just think about this. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping. Is it that the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her? You see, one of the things that God does, nor the voice of crying. Look at verse 20. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days. Look at that one. Nor an old man that had not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die, what? It looks like in this new earth, people still die. This is your Bible, so I don't know what you think. But he said, a child will die, what? And a sinner, being 100 years, shall be what? It looks like some people will still be misbehaving. Can you see? I asked God why. He said, because you who are the saints who have served me here, who are going to be partakers of the first resurrection, will be immortal. But there will be natural human beings populating that world. If you are going to rule, who are you going to rule? There will be billions of people, natural people. And the Bible said we are going to rule with a rod of iron. So, on whom are we going to be enforcing the discipline? Rod of iron is discipline. Who are the people? That means there is tendency for. You better be among the immortal ones. So. Even if you are not in hell, better be on this one. If you are among the natural people. So I asked God, how did we get the natural people? And he explained it to me. The church is the bride of Christ. God has found a king. He has found a queen. But in this kingdom, they are subjects. They are citizens. Our calling is to go beyond citizenship to kingship. Those who will rule with Christ. That's this whole thing. People who play with it should know what they're doing. But anyway, go on. There are some things I want to show. Just wait. A sinner being 100 years shall be accursed. This new heaven and new earth. Continue. And they shall build houses. Are you seeing there that nobody is going to drop anything from the sky for you? So when somebody say, I saw the heavenly Jerusalem descending from the sky, and I hear some preacher, they say, when he gets to near planet Earth, it will hang in the air. Go and dream again. The heaven of heavens belongs to the Lord. The earth has he given to. If God builds houses for human beings, he will have built it for Adam. What he does is that he downloads what is inside him. All those pictures you are reading are already in him. He downloads it to a prophet, to a man. It's the human being that will give you the physical expression. So when you want to build your own house, you can just get morning devotion. You download the kind of structure, kind of. Next thing, you start your building project. If you are waiting for Holy Ghost to build it, you will wait for eternity. The only mansions that God built are in heaven. And you are not going to stay in heaven. You're only going to visit that place 7 years. Part of the reason is to catch a vision of your own mansion on earth. But this is what I like. This the attribute number 3, justice, righteousness. Look at it. They shall build houses, they shall inhabit them. Did you see that? There's something like you come and knock down my house. They shall plant vineyards. Are you seeing it? Their work continues in eternity, and they shall eat what? The fruit of it. Continue. I will show you lazy people in eternity. So you will see that there is hunger there. They shall not build under another what? That's how we should build this ministry. Not if you are lazy sitting in one place. And no man finish, you want to come and reap what you did not sow. Mm-mm. Like part of the principles, you must have at least planted and grown 3 solid churches before you start asking for anything. So there are certain things people should achieve. Once they achieve it, they have right to also own some things. Now, and another, as the days of three, so are the days of my people. And the purpose is so that my elect shall long enjoy. Not by the time you now hit serious money, you are old. No, die well. Long enjoy. Long enjoy the works of their hands. That's verse 22. I like this. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offsprings with what? Everything you sow, even your offsprings, reaps with you. I hope you see that in eternity there will be children. There will still be offsprings. Somebody said to me, how can that be? Didn't they say that then we will not marry or give him? He said, you, those that are counted worthy to partake of the resurrection will be like angels. They neither marry or are given him. That's resurrected saints. He didn't say natural people will not marry. Stop confusing yourself. It's telling you of natural order of life. For example, these things that are written here, for those resurrected saints, they don't die at all. It's something like 100 years here. How you will know is, look at 1,000 years that Christ will rule here. You and I, who have labored and so will be ruling with him, there will be natural people. After 1,000 years, Satan is released from prison and is allowed a short time, and many of them followed him again. And there was rebellion. The last rebellion happened after people have experienced Christ's rule for 1,000 years. And they were numbered, such a multitude that could not be numbered. They followed Satan to bomb the saints down. And they gathered all the nuclear weapons of Russia, because they said that a particular war, Gog and Magog, Russia and China led it. So, what is shocking me is it that the effect of communism on China and Russia, that even after 1,000 years of Christ, this hatred against the West, against Christianity, remains. Bible said the moment Satan is released from prison, because there is also a mystery behind deception. He said he will go and deceive the world. So you see that those natural people can still die. Everybody is not going to hell, or in case that's what you think. The program of redemption is a solid program. Many of you don't know. Even those who don't belong to what we call the saints, the called out, the ecclesia, the rest are still not, all of them are not going to hell, or in case you don't know. See how they're all looking at me. We'll deal with that another time. Let me give you some examples. Do you know that from Adam, that Adam, for example, is not in hell? That from Adam to Christ, there have been a lot of righteous men and women that lived. They don't belong to this group called Ecclesia, but they are God's people. Do you know that? Do you know that it's possible that there are one or two from your village in the days the gospel did not come here? Let me give you an example. The man that mentored Moses, his name was who? He was an African. In those days when Africa was in mythic darkness, that man knew Jehovah. Now, let me now tell you what God uses to know if this one is one of those seeds marked for redemption. Let me give you a secret. Before, apart from the Lamb's Book of Life, there is a Book of Life. Everyone say Book of Life. God told Moses that he has had that book. And that book was created before the foundation of the world. And there are people whose names are there. I'm not talking about Christians now. Now, when we talk about the eternal plan of God, don't just see the program of redemption is the second to the last bus stop. Yes, after this, there's one mountain, which is resurrection and beyond all that. But in terms of the human order, this is the last. Well, there have been programs that have been running now. For example, look at the Jewish nation. You think they're all going to hell? Let me tell you part of what the Bible said concerning this group. He said, even though they might not have the revelation of the gospel, you know, for somebody who hears the gospel and rejects, his judgment is another thing. But there is a way God judges this nation that did not hear.
If he didn't do it like this, so then he is not just by. You have to know that there's something about God. It's not you. It doesn't depend on your sermon. If you like, preach anything you like. He is still who he is. There's something about God. There's something about his nature. And he's a just person by nature. How can God go to a hidden nation and pick a man that doesn't know him? He said, he's my servant. He's my anointed. He said, I have picked him up. I've called you righteous. I will even use you, even though you don't know me. His name is Cyrus. He uses another one, Darius. He uses another one, Asterius. You think they are going to hell? But guess what? They are not ecclesia. They are not. Even when he was using them to meet the needs of his called out people then, which was Israel. But what you will notice is that in those days, the Bible said, this moral side of God, this moral nature of God, God said he put it in every man in their conscience, giving their conscience the job of an arbiter, a job of a judge, to excuse or to accuse, to let the man know when he has done wrong and when he has done right, to guide people, that even before we come to meet God, some of you, before you got born again, didn't you know that adultery is wrong? Don't you see unbelievers fighting? There are some communities where they ostracize people for adultery. We're not talking about Christianity now. There are some communities where you steal, they have methods of dealing with you. They know it's wrong. Look, they said there is no people group that have been discovered that didn't have a concept of creation. They might have it twisted, you know. That didn't have a concept of the Almighty God, the God of creation. That didn't have a concept of morality. And it's been discovered that most of the moral, the ethics that you find in these people groups, even before the gospel comes, has something related to those moral 10 things that God gave Moses. There is no people group that has been discovered that likes murder. There is no people group that have been discovered that likes injustice or oppression of others. There is no people group that have been discovered that likes stealing and armed robbery. There is no people group that have been discovered who don't hate taking another person's wife. They might be practicing it all. They might be so immoral. You will see the people mourning, crying. They want a way. Why is it that even the ones that believe in human sacrifice and other, when it's their turn to sacrifice their child, you see them, they were mourning, crying. There is something. So all those people who do it, the Bible said they are without excuse. Including those who worship idols, who don't bow down to man making, because somehow in them there's still something. Or the people who are killing people or who are getting themselves into witchcraft and all that. God said all of them are without excuse before him. But he said that sometimes you find a Gentile who by nature does. Do you know that in the days of slave trade, there are some families who will wash their hands. I will not be involved. What you people want to do against a right? A man that didn't do anything. Or a family, a group of brothers will come because this man, woman's husband is dead, and connive on how to operate. You see one that will rise up and say, I will not be party to this. I wash my hand off. Whatever you will do, let it be on your head. God will pick out all this. They are there. Maybe you're expecting them to go to hell. He said, if the Gentile who by nature does what is expected of the one that is created, he said, even that will be counted for him. It's not like he's good enough to save him based on God's moral standard. But God, because of his mercy, finds a way. He said, for he that sins without the law will die without the law. He that sins within the law dies within the law. The ones that have the law, the judgment is stronger because they now know. Those ones that don't have, when by nature they now do what is expected of those who have the law, God justifies them. Let me tell you something about Abraham. Jesus had not been sacrificed, yet he obtained justification by faith. Jesus, the Bible says he believed God. And it wasn't like that day there was any animal that was sacrificed. Part of my morning devotion today, I was studying Abraham's descendants, Isaac, Jacob. And I was talking with the Lord. I said, why is it that each time they want to marry, they will go back to the same family where you told Abraham, come out of thy father's house
unto a land that if you say come out, I understand one of the reasons why you said that idolatry was in that family. There were occult men there from Iraq. Why is it that they will ask their children to go back there? He said, because that family has a revelation of God. I said, what? He said, they have it. You saw Laban, the brother of Rebecca. When Jacob escaped, Laban started pursuing Jacob. He wanted to harm him. God appeared to him on the way. This God you are serving. Said, don't touch the guy and don't speak to him, both good or evil. Don't try it. And that was the end. He finally cut off the guy. Say, if not that the God of your fathers appeared to me last night, I will have. But that was it. That was enough. You talk about hearing from God. Laban had just heard it. Now, when Gehazi? Eliezer. The servant of Abraham was to find a wife for Isaac. Abraham commissions him to go. He goes back to that family. Do you know what he told them? He was telling them about Abraham. He said, God has blessed him in everything. He said, show me if God has blessed mine. And he's talking distance and they understand it. And when they finished giving their daughter, their, you know, Rebecca, they were blessing him in the name. But they had issues. How you know is that idolatry thing. For example, Jacob takes off. He has married two wives. He's a covenant man. Made vow, anointed an altar. Is going back there, Bethel, to raise a house for the Lord. And to continue the covenant that God made with Abraham. But he has just married two women. And they have raised children for him. On his way from that journey, they got to a particular place where they said Laban was pursuing them and Laban caught up with them. Laban said, okay, I don't want any problem with you. God has rebuked me last night. The only thing I want now, give me back my gods, my idols. And I was wondering who took the idols, Jacob's wives. And they carried it and put under and sat on it. When their father was searching, he got to where they were. They said they were in their period. They sat on the head of those gods. Stole their father's gods, Prula. In other words, like the women that Solomon married, these ladies planned actually to import those religions of Babylon alongside. But then if you read further, when you get to Genesis 35, Bible said, on the way, there was an encounter Jacob had with God. This thing I'm teaching you. After he had it, he called his wife. He said, all of you bring out your God. They buried it under one oak. And the Bible said, and from that moment they did that, the terror of God, which is another aspect of the manifestation of the glory of God, went with them. That thing that keeps the enemy out. So, in other words, Jacob knew that these ladies had these gods. He left them. But it got to a point like Joshua, he had to circumcise these people. So, and I was studying it. Now, these are different dispensations, how God dealt with people. These are things he does not relate to. But this is the level where these people are. This is where they are living. If someone like Abraham were to do that kind of thing, it would be a big issue. If Jacob himself, he can disqualify him. But this is where the best wives can be found. Wives that can steal idol and hide it. When they lie like this, the best wives are available at that time. I conclude this thing this way. If we're going to produce change people, we must transmit God's moral attributes. Don't just transmit power. Don't just transmit wisdom. Be known as a holy man. You are a pastor. Be known as a holy man. Be known as a person of integrity. A righteous person. Be known as a person of compassion. that you have mercy. Be known as a gracious person. Carry this thing. This is God. When you say God is love, God is also holy. It's not only love. God is righteous. God is just. He's who he is. He's not what he does. They tell us these are the other ones. He does them, that love is who he is. No. They sold you half truth. God is love, but God is holy. Let me tell you, all that book that you carry, the attribute of God called holiness is emphasized by this book far more than the attribute called love. Of course, the way God cures a man of sin is to give him a revelation of himself. Whenever people see God, the first thing they see is not love, is holiness. And the first thing that strikes the man is conviction of his own sin. You don't know how sinful sin is till you come close to God and see him as he is. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. You don't know who he is. If sin start becoming an issue with you, maybe in your chapter they are committing abortion anyhow, men are sleeping around, and it's not an issue with you. You don't know. You are not transmitting Jehovah to these people. When you really when these people encounter the Holy Spirit in his entirety, maybe his power, they are falling on chair, falling out. They think that's God. I think it was Elijah that got there. He said there was lightning and thundering. Now, the Lord was not there. There was earthquake and the Lord was. Because what is was going on is that there was only an exhibition of power. Just one component. Where is wisdom? Was it not confusion that drove him there? He needed direction. Somebody's trying to kill me. What am I supposed to do? It's not power. He had power. He called fire down. He could do things. He needed direction. But finally, the scripture said, and there was a small still voice. It was that one that met Elijah's needs. So when God is moving, it's not just power, commotion. People are collapsing and all that. That's one side. We need to now know the rest so we can bring transformation to any city. When you raise a church, the work will be stable. The human beings, there will be fully, there will be people who are in the image of God, conformed to his image. One of them is this. We have lost understanding of what it is. I'm going to be doing a lot of teaching along that line in the coming days. God is holy. Every time people see him, that's the first thing. Each time you get, and when you talk about worship, you have to do worship. What you do in worship is to extol God's attributes. In worship, you declare who he is. Worship is not where you talk about his works. Praise is where you talk about his works. Actually, in thanksgiving, you talk about what he has done. Like what he has done for you, what he has done for others, and all that. In praise, you declare his mighty acts. You declare his power. You see more of it. In worship, you focus on who he is. The greatest component of worship is holiness. Of course, for me, the greatest worship songs are the ones that deal with God's holiness, the ones that deal with his nature. They are the greatest worship songs I've ever heard. Because they change me. They also, you know, if a man can finish being filthy like pig, walk into a service, nothing, no impact, walk out, no impact, something is wrong with what, or something is really wrong. Something is seriously wrong. When God's holiness is revealed, every sinner becomes naked. They see themselves as they are. It produces conviction, and that conviction leads to repentance and produces change. God is pure. He is separate from filth. He's separated from filth. He said his eyes is so pure that he cannot behold iniquity. That's who he is. That's how he is. Then God is love. This is where some people who are trying to be holy people miss it, because they pick one aspect and throw away the other. So in the end, that are being holy, they are so mean. Some of them are even wicked, so heartless. No, God is love. God is love, as holy as he is. something in him pulls him towards sinners. Look at the story of the prodigal son. As holy as he is, he hates the sin with passion. He can kill you for it. But something in him loves you so much. So I said, Lord, how are you able to combine the two? Justice and compassion. Holiness and graciousness. He said, the way is, I direct the hatred. Because holiness means hatred for sin. Oh, hatred for sin. Perfect hatred for sin. But he said, I direct that hatred towards the sin. And direct the love towards the person. I said, wow. He said, I love the sinner. I hate his sin. All at the same time. I said, I can't do it. It's not possible for me. How can I do that? He said, you do it already. You do it. Because I see you do it with your children. Sometimes with what they have done wrong. And you are angry. You still love the child. He said, that's what you should do. Always suppress the person from his acts. And when you're able to do it, you can win the person back and destroy the evil that they are doing. That's why Jesus, who became the express image of the Father, when he came here, he's as holy as he is. It didn't keep him from touching sinners. He said, for it's not the will of God that any should perish. That's compassion. That's love. That's mercy. Those are aspects of God in oppression. But when you look at God's aspect as justice, that's the one that makes him, he's retributive in nature. He punishes. He can flog you. And of course, if you remain stubborn, he throws people to hell. So when Americans, we just say, God is love. How can love create hell? God cannot throw anybody to hell. Tell them that God is also justice. He's capable of doing that. And he has done that to many already. It was this God that burned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah down. It's this God that knocked Ananias and Sapphira down in church. It's this God that baptized Miriam with leprosy. And there are times where you read, and he did what was right in the sight of God, like Uzziah, the king. Yet he died of leprosy. He crossed a line. So whatever God puts boundary on, says to stay away from it. Don't play on the fact that he's love. He's love, but he still drove Adam out of the Garden of Eden. I know he made the love, compassion, made a covering for him. And what I thought was after putting that covering, he would tell the guy to stay back. He drove him out. It was that justice part. He said to the one that buried the talent, cast him into outer darkness. It's that justice part that makes him say, I never knew you. It's that just part. You better believe it that he is like that. The way to know God is not by studying his works. You can learn a few things from studying his works. It's to study his character. It's by studying his character. It's by studying his character. I love this other one, that God is gracious. And you know, you can just continue. He is good. God is good. God is kind. God is awesome. And in ministry, we must expose him and get the people to desire to be like him. So when you next time say, I want to be like God, you should know what you are talking about. It means you want to exhibit these qualities. That's what it means to be like God. That's what it means to be like God. And then when you come onto his natural attributes, it also means you want to be filled with his presence. You want to function in his wisdom. You want to. Those natural attributes lead more to what is called the likeness of God. What is called the functionalities of God. The aspects of God that makes him do things. Do some wonderful things. When you combine that, you have his image and his likeness. a time is coming in one church, sometimes you have close to 200 groups. So that when service starts and you are doing your congregational type of thing, you just do it, people get communion, get the word, do worship, do all that. You share the grace, everybody heads to their own family, their small family. They go there and get specific things concerning their life sorted out. The kind of thing I see is that services will start. Some people are not grown enough to enter inside the service. They are in their foundation school. They do their own service there, take offering there, say their own grace there. You grow to the point maybe you do two services, then you can come and do this and go for second service, or attend the school in the second service and attend the first service. So that over a period of time, a couple of weeks, the man moves into the main service. If the pastor is preaching on the kingdom, if he's preaching on giving, the foundation is already in the man. I think our babies in the house have a couple of months they hang on milk before they join the rest of the family in eating pounded yam and other. It's the same thing. We find out those that are bound by demons and other, we put them in their own home, and they are going through those things. There should be school for everything. There should be school for marriage. There should be school for business. There should be school for career. There should be school for everything. So when you get those components in place, so that the people, life of the people are whole, they don't just sit attending church for years, you don't see the effect. No. Those different things are running. So you can't build, nobody here can build a church and build one building and say he has built the Dominion City blueprint. God said build a tent, a temple, and a city. You have not got it. The picture, you must have a picture of something that trains people to release them back to society. So that picture will reflect in the way you draw your building. I'm not going to give you a model building to go after. No. But these things are downloaded. When we come, you get them before God. You now know what it is. You download how it's going to be. Is it going to be story buildings on the side of the hall, surrounding the hall? With maybe somebody will decide to build his own life schools. Others will build it like international conferences where the halls are attached on the sides of that, and the main auditorium is a conditioned heavily. So when you attend a camp meeting or any, you see a blueprint of what a third wave should look like. It's a campus church. It's like university. It has faculties in it. But you have the central part, which is where we come to worship God, get direction, get a word from God. You don't take that away and say turn church into business development or turn church into career development. No. But it's no more like before where you just do spirit things. After that, people get off on there to get into the practical side. That's the picture God wants to give to the end time world, the world in these last days, where in a church the manifold wisdom of God is being unfolded. So we have to take this thing and go and reproduce it. Let's just lift up our hands. Father, we come to share in the life of Christ. We come to share in you, in who you are. I ask that the life element, that quickening power that raised Christ from the dead, we infuse our inward man with new strength, with new life, with new energy, with new vitality, with new direction, with new wisdom. Whatever it is that you lack, wherever you are getting tired, wherever you are feeling depleted, you are going to receive fresh supply. Talk to the Lord about Jesus is your sanctification. He's your wisdom. He's your provision. He's your protection. He's your life. He's your deliverance. He's your everything. Father, I break the bread today and declare that the curtain is open for your people to come in to have a face-to-face communion with you. Let everyone receive a fresh impartation and a fresh life today. Everyone who eats your blood, who eats your flesh and drinks your blood, lives by you just like you live by the Father. Fill me afresh with life. Fill me afresh with direction. Fill me afresh with boldness. Fill me afresh with the spirit of faith. Fill me afresh with your divine substance. You are my protection. You are my life. I hide myself in you. You are my deliverance. You are my victory. You are my justification. You are my sanctification. You are my redemption. You are my glory. You are the lifter of my head. You are my hiding place. You are my buckler. You are my defense. I give you praise. We commit the remaining part of the year. We commit the next 4 months and the remaining part of the year into your hand. Lead us into victories. Lead us into mind-blowing victories. Lead us into provisions. Lead us into... Open the gates, the floodgates of life, the floodgates of resources. Let your children enter in. Lead this whole ministry into new levels of accomplishment. Consolidate everything that you have given us. Cause everything you have placed in our hands to be properly consolidated, effectively managed, and then lead us into conquering new territories, into possessing new lands. We give you praise. We cannot suffer one defeat as long as you are the captain of our ship. You are the commander, the captain of the host. We take our place under your mighty hand. We line up ourselves under your mighty hand. Have your way again in our lives. We give you praise. Let every sin be wiped away. Let every defeat be wiped away. Let every train in our spirit, in our body, in it, all our total being be wiped away. Let there be fresh impartation of life. Let there be rejuvenation. It's a day that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let there be fresh cleansing. We give you praise, Lord. We give you thanks.
My tower is my affection, my affection I pour out. My eyes release their tears as I behold the beauty of the Lord. I shall be home. The beauty of the Lord. I shall be home. I shall be home. The beauty of the Lord. I shall be home. The beauty of the Lord.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Obwele. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.